The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
In Exodus chapter 25, verse 21, you should put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and the ark you shall have the testimony that I will give you, and there I will meet with you. Everybody say, I'll meet with you there. And I'll speak with you from above the mercy seat. From where? I'll speak with you and I'll meet with you above the mercy seat. Here's the mercy seat. There was an angel made of gold, and the mercy seat. And God says, right there. Put my verse back up. God said, right there is where I'll meet you. I'll meet with mankind. My presence will be there. I'll meet with you. I'll speak to you from above the mercy seat. Between the two cherubim. It's not going to be I'm on your side or her side. It's not going to be I'm standing with the husband against the wife. Only when you touch wings, the wings had to touch in the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, that's where I show up, wherever there is unity. I want them to put the picture up of the Ark of the Covenant for just a moment. And I want you to notice that in the original writing that God gave Moses instructions, the head of the angels were not looking at each other. Their faces were not facing each other, but they were looking down. Both of their heads were looking down, this side and that side, and they were seeing each other through the gaze of mercy. This is the mercy seat. This is where the blood was sprinkled seven times a day, and they saw each other through the blood. They saw each other through mercy and forgiveness, and their wings had to touch in unity. And in creating unity and creating a touch and seeing each other through forgiveness, seeing it, you don't have to see eye to eye on everything. But you do have to see each other through a spirit of mercy and a spirit of, we may not ever agree on everything, but we see each other through mercy and through forgiveness and through love. And God says, wherever people unify and they touch, their wingtips had to touch, speaking of unity, the two become one. God said, I am attracted. That is my throne zone, and that's where I will be. And anytime a couple makes up their mind, the devil is not going to destroy the unity in our marriage, then God's presence is guaranteed in that home. And if you get God, you get victory. Say amen, somebody. This is interesting because God says, I'll dwell in relationships where they see each other through the eyes of mercy and forgiveness. They're not perfect. They don't see eye to eye. They have to view each other through mercy and through the blood of forgiveness. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis chapter 15, it talks about, and in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about how that they would make covenants. Even when God made his covenant with Abraham, he said, I'm looking for middle ground. I'm not siding on this side or that side and who's right and who's wrong. I look for people who see each other and forgive each other and love each other, and they touch back in unity when they've been upset at one another, and that creates a place for my presence. I'm attracted to forgiveness and mercy and unity. I don't care how bad it's gone, if you ever can reach back up and touch and reunite in faith, God says, I can come and heal anything. And so what they would do to make a covenant is God gave Abraham this strange instruction. He said, take a bull and take a heifer and take a ram and take a lamb and split them down the middle and take a turtle dove, but do not split the turtle dove. Just let it sit there. Because the turtle dove speaks of the Holy Spirit. But he said, I want half the animal on the left side, half the animal on the right side. And God said, I will come to you, Abraham, and make a covenant. And you just provide, you provide the middle ground for my presence. And the Bible said he split those animals and laid half of the animals on one side. And God came, the scripture said in Genesis 15, like a burning torch and sloshed through the blood of those animals. And then a voice began to speak and tell Abraham all that he would do in his life through the covenant that he was cutting. This is a powerful picture of marriage, because when they would make a covenant agreement in the Old Testament, they would cut an animal and calves, and they would lay them aside, and the men who were making a covenant, or the people who were making a covenant, would walk in the middle of the sacrifice, sloshing through the blood, sacrifice on this side, standing in the middle of sacrifice and repeating the vows of the covenant. I promise before God that I will do this and I will do that according to our agreement. That's a picture of marriage. It's a picture of us standing in the middle of sacrifice, because marriage is about sacrifice. Marriage is not about me. Marriage is about we. Marriage is not about my. It's not about I. It's about we. And you have to stand in the middle of sacrifice and sacrifice. And I salute all of you who are sacrificing, the men, the women. It would be easier just to do your thing, but you stand, and it's not fair sometimes, and it's not equal, and it's not 50-50. No, it is not. You stand in the middle, and you create a throne zone by saying, hey, we got upset, and we didn't see eye to eye, but I'm reaching out, and you reach out, and you touch, and let's touch wings. And the moment you do, God says, they're growing. They're growing in grace. They're learning how to do this. They're learning that there's no magic stuff in marriage. It's just kind of brutal sometimes. And you got to stand in the middle of sacrifice and remember the vows that you made. You said, for better or for worse, in richer or poorer, in health or in sickness, till death do we part, so help me God. And God says, if you keep coming back, and I don't care what happens in your marriage, keep coming back and touching, I'll show up and help you through any and everything you face. You create a throne zone. Listen to this amazing verse, stuff you read right over in the Bible. Jeremiah 34, God says, I am ready to judge. I'm angry. And this is what he's angry about. He says, I will judge those who have transgressed my covenant and not performed the words of the covenant that they made before me when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts. Now, I want you to listen to this. When you got married, you make promises. And the purest, in its purest form, we've drifted so far from purity. Do you know that it's still an absolute sin that can send you to hell if you are having sex outside of the confines of marriage? God is not okay with it. It is not his will. God intends for you to keep yourself. And if you're not married, and certainly I know I'm preaching, anytime I preach to our congregation, I'm constantly preaching to people who are living together and they have families together. And we're not here to beat up on you, but we're here to tell you that you cannot expect the fullness of God's favor and blessing until you do things like God said do them. God brought Adam his wife, and God said, marriage is my idea. You don't do it by playing house and see how it works out and living together. You have to obey the truth of God's word if you want God's presence. You have to. So what are you saying? We have a family. Let's get married. Let's do it quick. Let's go. I'm available right now. Hallelujah. But go on and do it because something happens. This is what the Bible teaches in the book of Ecclesiastes. I think it's the 4th chapter. It says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You see, marriage is not a twofold cord, a man and a woman. Marriage is a threefold cord. It's a man. You know, one cord is strong. But two cords twined together is even stronger. But God says, don't ever think that marriage is just a man and a woman making agreements. But marriage is the threefold. I'm touching, you're touching, and God, you come and tie a knot around this and dwell here and keep us in love, keep us in mercy, keep us in forgiveness, keep us in holiness in our marriage, keep us pure, and don't let us split the dove. The splitting of the dove means the Holy Spirit or the right spirit. You know, if you don't watch it, you'll get bitter and stuff will accumulate and your spirit gets ugly and your spirit is wrong, and I get the wrong spirit. I've had, Cherise, we've had situations that we get the spirit. You gotta, that's why the Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence, that you don't let outside offenses and hurts get so in you that you get fixed in your position and your pride won't let you reach out and try to touch again that person that you love. Stay in the middle of sacrifice and keep the words of the covenant that you spoke before God and He holds you to. Keep the spirit of unity. I thought about this amazing story in 1 Samuel chapter 20. David and Jonathan are making a covenant and he makes this statement. He says, the Lord be between you and me. This is what covenant is. The Lord, this is a husband, this is a wife, and the Lord be between you and me. I'm not on her side. I'm not on his side. I just want to know that if you two will forgive one another and see each other through mercy and love and forgiveness, I just want you to know that you will create a throne zone for your children and your children's children and your family. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come and break the wings of unity so that God doesn't have a place and he picks and he takes over the middle ground. And when he comes to kill. He's not coming to give you fun. He's not coming to give you more pleasure in your marriage. So let's do this and let's try that and let's do this. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't let him in. And how do you not let him in? Unity. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, and refusing to kill the dove, the Holy Spirit, in your marriage. And I love what he said. He said, the Lord be between you and me. The Lord be between you and me. I'm telling you that God's got to be in the middle of our families. God's got to be in the middle of our marriage. It's not just trying to do good and being good and falling in love. You can fall in love, but you're not going to stay in love. Love is a choice. Love is what you do over and over again when you keep saying, God, I need my heart to be touched by you so that I will be the man that you've called me to be for my wife and my family. The Lord, everybody say, the Lord be between me and you. Look at a family member and say, the Lord be between me and you. Not offense, not devils and demons, not anger and rage, not evil speaking. The Lord be between me and you. Don't forget about the man in the middle. Hallelujah. because he's got miracles for our homes. He turns water into wine. Water is weak and wine is strong. Praise God. Where two or three are gathered, Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I where? In the midst of them. If I can get three, that's ideal. But if I can't get three, I'll take two. I don't need a lot of unity in the house, but if I can get two, I think that's the husband and the wife. The crazy teenagers are crazy teenagers. You were a crazy teenager too. They're crazy as a bat, and they're going to do crazy stuff. I'm sorry. I don't know nothing but real raw life. Every one of mine were as crazy as a bat for a season. Maybe not Connor. I will have to say Connor was good. Well, there were moments. But God said, I don't need ideal. If the husband, after he's beat up and she's beat up, you got that phone call and you're disappointed, your heart's broken, you're going through stuff. One of them out drinking with the wrong crowd, another one's doing this, doing that. Why are y'all looking at me? I'm not going to tell you all my stuff. But I've been right here. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I don't have a perfect family, but I've got a family that's got God in the center of it all. Hallelujah. And his grace can handle the mistakes. And his grace can handle all the lies of the enemy that says it's over. Just give up on your family and your home. No, as for me, when you reach out and say, as for me and my house, let's touch and agree, we shall serve the Lord. God says, I'll fight that devil all the way out of that home and all the way out of that marriage. Everybody take a praise break and say, Lord, I want you in the middle of my home. I'm almost done. I mean, nowadays, just unity in general is hard. Pastoring is hard. You got the left wing and the right wing. I'm definitely on this side, that's for sure, if you don't know that. But you got the woke and you got the ultra-conservative. And God loves us all. And you got all kinds of things. You got people who are legalistic. If you go all the way, that right wing, it's legalism. If you don't do this, and if you do that, and then you got liberalism. Anything goes. We don't need any standards. We can do anything, and the grace of God covers us. Well, where's the truth at? The truth is, the Bible said Jesus came in grace and truth. Grace and truth. That's a Bible verse. Came in grace and truth. So somewhere in the middle is where we've got to come. That the law is the law, the word of God is the word of God, but grace is reaching, and what you can't quite get to on your own, the grace of God bridges you to over. And God says when you get the two together, you get a house of mercy. You get a mercy seat. Even in our music, I was telling them in the 9 o'clock service you have to pastor people. And some people want the old move of God and all this, and some people want the new stuff, and pray, even in praise and worship. One time a man said to me, I don't like all those off-the-wall songs. Well, what is that? Words are up on the wall. Where's the red-back hymnal? Well, what difference does it make? But, you know, another man said, I like 7-Elevens. I don't like the 7-Eleven songs. Well, what is a 7-Eleven song? That's when you say 7 words 11 times and call it a song. I love it all. You know what I like? I like a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I'll throw a little hymn in there, and I'll throw a little new thing in there, and I'll throw a little this and a little that, and I think God likes that. Let me close. What I'm trying to get you to understand is in Ezekiel 28 and verse 14, Lucifer was in heaven, and there were millions of angels before the throne of God. And notice how he was positioned. You were the anointed cherub singer. I established you, God speaking. You were in the holy mountain of God. That's the Holy of Holies. You walk back and forth in the mist. The word mist means middle. In the mist of fiery stones, Satan sees the middle ground of worship. He got between the throne of God and the angels that were worshiping. And God said, God cast him out of heaven for it. God said, I'll never let the enemy seize the middle ground. And so in Revelation chapter 4, the scripture says in verse 4, round about the throne are the cherubims and the seraphims and the elders, and they're casting their crowns and they're singing according to Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. What do you say? They're round about. God said, I'll never let the enemy have that place of worship. I want you round about my throne. I want you giving me the center. In other words, the Lamb is central. If they're surrounding him, he's the center of it all. He's the center of the family, the church. And the way that we worship him is when we keep him in the center of our marriage and our family. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about him. And here's how someone explained it to me one time. They said, marriage is like a triangle. And I think they've got a thing they can throw up. And there's the husband on one side of the triangle. Everybody draw a triangle, just draw one. And the husband's on one side of the triangle and the wife is on the other side. Now watch this. I'm way over here, she's way over here. How do we ever get it together? The more that she moves closer to God, who's at the top, the more he moves closer to God. It's amazing. The more that we move closer to God, the closer we get to one another. Marriage is a spiritual thing. It's so spiritual that Jesus said, if you want to know what marriage is, it's a picture of me and my bride, the church. And I want you to be close to me. And if you get close to me, if you get a prayer life and a Bible reading life and she gets the same and you both start doing that on your own and you're drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to God, then guess what? You're inseparable. You're inseparable. And God says, I'm looking. And I wrote this down yesterday. I heard the Lord say, I want to get in the middle of the marriages. I want them to give me the throne zone in their marriage again. I want to get in the middle of families. Everybody say, Lord, I give you the middle place, the very central place of our relationships in my family. I put you in that middle ground. Through mercy, through forgiveness. Say this, don't let the devil divide us. I want every husband to say it, every wife to say it. Don't let the devil divide us. So much at stake. God says, when you get your spirit right, you'll be reaching for the one that you love. You will not allow that stuff in your heart. You will reach. And he says, when I see that, I see humility. And when I see that, I see the right spirit. If you're not reaching, if you're just pouting, if you're just angry and upset, you're not reaching. At some point, it ain't gonna ever get better until both parties start reaching. saying, I love you. We need one another. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me yesterday, just so beautifully. I was reading Ephesians about marriage, and I believe it's Ephesians 2, somewhere in there, about marriage, and it's so powerful. And here's the bottom line. Those of you who are single, listen very, very, very intently right here. The reason that God gives marriage to a couple, you say, well, what's the reason? So that they can have sex without guilt? No. So they can populate and have children? Well, that's part of it, and all of that is true. But the real reason for marriage is to fulfill God's purpose in the family. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this yesterday, that in my life, a single person should ask this question if they're dating someone and considering marrying them. Will, if I marry and add that person to my life, will that person aid me in fulfilling the purposes of God? If they will not help me fulfill God's purpose for my life, they do not belong in that place. Now, I think about me and Charisse for a moment. She's sick. She's not able to be here this morning. Y'all keep praying for her because it's been a week of it and more. But listen to this. So I thought about, I have this purpose. God called me alone when I was single to preach. I was not dating anybody. I was single. And God called me to preach. He called me singly to preach. I knew without a doubt I was called to preach. And then I met Charisse several years later. And I fell in love with her. And now looking back over my life, not only did I fall in love with her and we did it like God said, do it. But listen to this. She has helped me fulfill my purpose, which I have no, this ministry would not on any level be where it is today for the glory of God had she not been taking care of things in the purpose of God that I'm totally blinded to, that I'm totally ignorant in, that I'm totally zero gifting in beauty, in architect, in all the carpet, all the every detail of buildings and things that she just knows instinctively, and I just know how to preach instinctively. But think about this. She couldn't have fulfilled her purpose if she hadn't married me, and we've done it and touched the world together. Together. That's a powerful, powerful thing. We got too much. And don't you think just because you've walked with the Lord for many, many years, the enemy will not come and try to break those wings loose from one another. He's done it many times through the years. I remember one time in particular when the kids were very small. I think Courtney and Carissa, and I don't even think Caroline was born. Pat, you'll remember this. And we had just built our first house. Charisse had built it. She's a builder. And remember Gene Jones and Margaret, and we were going through a rough spot, me and Charisse, and the pressure of the church, and we were building, and just a lot of stuff, just a lot of attacks, and the church was in a lot of, just, it was so demanding. I was working all the time. I was preaching 3 new sermons a week, and I was just about, and I had no time for nothing, and just trying so hard. And we just hit a wall. We just hit a wall. And I got up that Sunday morning and I said, I cannot do this. We had had a terrible week. And I said, I cannot do this. I'm not going to church this morning. And I called the associate pastor, Gene did for me. His name was Jerry Brackett. He got up and preached. I didn't tell anybody anything. We were walking through some of the darkest times where everything in us screamed, give up, quit, you're incompatible. What's the use? And I'm saying to you today, every one of you will face dark nights like that and dark days like that. But we kept holding on. We kept doing what we could do. And God always came through. When the little wings finally got over their pride and ego and reached out and touched in mercy, in forgiveness, in grace. My children have not seen a perfect dad, but they've seen a dad that loves his wife. I do love my wife and I love my children unconditionally. Say amen, somebody. Unconditionally. And that's all God asks of us. That's the good news. He says, if you'll do that, if you'll forgive one another, if you'll reach out, all y'all fighting in your families, siblings won't speak to each other. All the junk that comes, all the heavy, heavy, heavy stuff that hits a family, it's going to all come back to somebody getting on their knees, at least two, and the wings reaching out and calling again. Let's go to eat again. Let's start communicating again. Let's create a throne zone. If we do what we can do, God will do what we can't do. And this is a messed up little message. It's all over the place, but preaching from my heart today. Because your marriage has a divine purpose on it. And it takes two. Two are better than one. So I'm going to ask everybody in the room at every campus to stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask every couple that's married or about to get married, thinking about getting married, I want every couple at every campus to grab the hand of the husband or the wife, because that's the only way you can have a marriage is a husband and a wife. You have another agreement and that's freedom and that's your life and that's, but God only recognizes a marriage between a man and a woman. And He loves everybody, but you got to do it God's way. Marriage is not kind of pick and choose parts of it you like. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Pastor, we want God in our marriage, in our family. I want to create a throne zone. I want every one of you couples that will. I know this is crazy. I know I got to quit acting like we're a church of 200 or 300 people, but I don't care. If I reach the right ones with this, miracles will happen in homes and marriages. Pastor, I want that. I want that again. Maybe you've lost it. Maybe you've had it and you lost it. He's the God. Just like you saw the spiritual, the natural Israel miracle of families released from hostages, we can see it spiritually. The devil can release our children and our grandchildren when two agree. So I'm going to ask every couple that's married or engaged or whatever and thinking about getting married, or maybe you're living together but you're ready to get married. And I'm not going to marry you right down here right now, but you need to have a real deal, and you can do that anywhere. You can do it under an oak tree. Just get a good preacher or somebody. We got a big old staff. Call any of them. I'll do it if I can. I probably can. But this is serious. How many of you sense this is serious? I want you to come as couples and just feel the altar as close as you can get. I want you to face each other. Just come and join hands and face each other. Just like those angels, touch, 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 touch. And create a throne zone. And I want you to see in that circle every care, every worry, every need, every dream, every child, every issue, every circumstance, grandchildren, I want you to put them in that throne zone, roundabout. I want you to put them in that place where God said, I'll meet with you about that. I'll meet with you about your finances. I'll meet with you about the family resources. I care about everything about my people and my families and my marriages. I care about my people. And so just get the hand of that one that you love and just say, let's touch right now like the angels do it. And God, we give you our home and we give you our marriage and we give you our children and we give you our finances. And Lord, in some cases, there may be some drifting apart and there may be some walls and hindrances and there may be some bitterness and there may be some stuff that's gotten in the heart. I want the right spirit again. I'm open to it, God. I'm ready for it, God. I'm ready for it, Lord. So right where you're standing, dedicate your home to Him. Dedicate your marriage to Him. Dedicate your family to Him. Say, Lord, we want your purpose. He's strong in some areas. He's weak in some areas. God, get uncleanness in any shape, form, or fashion out of our home. If there's anything in our house that's not pleasing to you, get it out of our home. We consecrate our home back to you. Let us draw nigh to you. Let us draw close to you. And in doing so, we're being drawn to one another. I come to you, Lord, you're the answer to it all. Jesus at the center. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, teach me to be sensitive. Teach me to do little things. Teach me to listen. Teach me to talk. Now just throw up your hands and let's raise them all over this room. Let's, right where we're standing, just give Him our families. Give Him our future. Give Him our home. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let a generational blessing come upon our family. Let a generational blessing come upon our marriages and our relationships. May the spirit of the enemy that is trying to divide and divorce, may his power be broken by the blood of the Lamb and the mercy of God. In Jesus' name. Give us the gaze of mercy, not anger, the gaze of mercy, not bitterness, the gaze of mercy for one another. Hallelujah. Now worship Him all over this room. God never runs out of mercy, but you do run out of time. And if you don't fix some problems in the season that God gives you the grace to do it, He told even the spirit of Jezebel, which is a spirit of adultery, a spirit of unfaithfulness, a spirit of pornography, a spirit of uncleanness, He says in the book of Revelation, I'll give you a space to repent. God never runs out of mercy, but you can run out of time to fix some things. And for some of you who are running from God, single, married, some of you know that He's not, you know, the center of your physical body is your heart. He wants that middle ground. He wants your heart. He wants the throne of your heart. And he's knocking on the door saying, let me in. And there'll never be a time where his mercy will not be there for you, but you can run out of time and miss that season. And then comes the judgment and the disaster and the pain of it. And God brought you to this service today to run to the mercy seat, obtain mercy, and then give it. And leave here united, touching and agreeing. If any two of you will touch and agree, Matthew 18 said, if I can just get you two to keep agreeing, stay in agreement, refuse the spirit of division and offense, you can overcome anything and everything hell throws at you. Unity is spelled U and I tie. So I'm tying the knot again. Some of you have been picking at it and it's getting loose. So I'm tying the knot again on your marriage. In Jesus' name, I'm tying the knot. I'm tying the knot. Say, nothing shall separate me from the love of God and the love for my mate. Nothing. Hallelujah. How many of you feel like it's getting tighter? Come on. Right here, right now. Now throw those hands up. And I want to say to those of you who are running from God, this is your service. This is your moment. And you don't have to accept somebody who doesn't have the same morals, and they won't help your purpose with God. But while he's working on you way over here all by yourself, he's got some girl or some guy out there that he's working on right here, right now. And you're gonna get on God's path, and God's gonna bring you together. And it's going to be like, my Lord, he loves the Lord just like I do. She loves the Lord just like I do. We like to be around church people and good Christian friends. Isn't this amazing? That's how God does it. So raise your hands and pray this prayer and say, Jesus, be the center of it all. I give you my heart. Wash me and cleanse me. Help me to be the person you've called me to be. And bless our marriage. When Pastor speaks this blessing, let it soak deep into our marriage and our family and our home in Jesus' name. Now raise your hand and receive this blessing. If you prayed the prayer of repentance and you meant it, go by next steps and tell them and get signed up to get baptized, and I'll baptize you right here on this stage. Here comes the blessing, ready to receive it. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you peace and unity in the name of Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.